All right, so the full council will reconvene at 9:21 PM. First up, we come back to appointments requiring confirmation. It's the Historic District Commission. I'm going to fail at this. Mark J. Rabinowitz, I apologize. I undoubtedly got that wrong. This would be intergovernmental. So Councilman Gebhardt? The recommendation from intergovernmental for the appointment? All right, favorable action for action, Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I move favorable action on the appointment of Mark Rabinowitz to the Historic District Commission.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Is there any further discussion on the appointment? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Udo?
Yes.
Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
All right, on to the consent calendar versus PCR 10-26 resolution relative to bids. Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you, Mr. President. So we have two, and the first one is from 1-26-2026, and the committee recommends favorable action other than the ones that we have held out.
All right. For action, Councilman Lattiser?
Move favorable action on PCR 10-26.
Second.
And the three items were bid 2022-006, which is now PCR 1326, bid 2026-308, which is now PCR 1426, and bid 2026-347, which is now PCR 1526.
All right, next is PCR 11-26, resolution relative to bids. Councilman Lattiser.
Once again, there were no items held up. Oh, I'm sorry, there was one. Other than that, the committee recommends favorable action on PCR 11-26.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 11-26.
Second.
All right, and is there any objection to correcting the Scrivener's error on 2026-363? For a Microsoft 360 into 365. All right, hearing none, so ordered. And then the one pulled.
The one item pulled from PCR 1126, it was bid 2026-035. It is now PCR 1626. That completes.
All right, so now on to the consent calendar. Any further discussion on such calendar? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll on the consent calendar.
Yes.
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 All right. So now on to the items that were removed. First is PCR 13-26, formerly bid 2022-006. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. The committee recommended sending to the floor without a vote, I move favorable action on PCR 13-26.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Are there any further questions on this? Seeing none,
No, I do.
Councilman Lattiser.
The biggest question, or one of the biggest questions, is we had a member of the public read off an ordinance to us, and I need to hear from our solicitor whether or not we have a legal standing on voting for this or otherwise.
Thank you for the reminder. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, the long answer short is yes, the council is able to proceed in their discretion to approve or not the bid as presented. The rationale for this is, just so folks know, that under state law, the competitive bidding process is one option. There is also a direct authorization for this other process. So that's fine there. The charter, which is superior than to our ordinances, and in charter 612, it provides, pull that up for you. specifically that the last sentence says, alterations in any contract may be made when authorized by the council upon the recommendation of the mayor. So this charter provision is superior to the ordinance that was presented earlier. The charter always wins when there's a conflict. The underlying matter was presented to us as a 612 recommendation of the mayor, so it is allowable for the council to consider proceeding on this matter.
Okay, thank you for that. I wanted to be sure that we were on a legal footing for voting on this. With that said, I have no objections to the providing of the healthcare, pharmacy, dental, et cetera, to all of our employees in the city. I do have an objection to this new method of the net versus the gross. And I have a problem with how the gross is going to be broken down to a net and how we are going to be kept apprised of that. So my instinct is to vote no on this. But my second thought is not to stand in the way of providing the services, or I should say the healthcare that our employees have come to be accustomed to, but I will certainly be looking to monitor the gross versus the net and where the reimbursement or how the reimbursement comes back to the city and what the city does with that money. So that's my say on that. Thank you. So we have a motion.
No other lights.
Second.
All right. There's a motion for favorable. There's a second. Clerk will please call the roll.
Mr.
Snappy. Yes.
Mr.
Yes. Yes.
Foley.
Yes.
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 Recuse.
So next is PCR 14-26, formerly bid 2026-308. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, sir. That was a motion to hold until February 23rd.
All right, is there any objections to said hold? Seeing none, so held. All right, next is PCR 15-26, formerly bid 2026-347. Councilman Lattiser?
That has now become PCR 15-26. The motion from the committee was to move to the floor for discussion. I would make a motion for unfavorable action on PCR 15-26.
Second.
All right, motion made and seconded for discussion.
Well, we've had certainly plenty of discussion in committee, and I just think that while this could be something for consideration in the future, given our financial constraints, our obligations, both those known and unknown, the increase of resources that we are going to have to provide throughout the city and other departments, it makes like no sense to me at all to put out $123,000 change on these bumper cars when we still do not have any reasonable expectation of what the revenues may or may not be. So with that said, I I'll be voting no on this item.
Councilor Muto.
Councilman Gephardt was first.
I can't hear, I'm sorry.
No, Councilman Gephardt was first.
Councilman Gephardt.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I'll admit my first instinct on this was that we have a brand new facility that's still getting its sea legs, and I'd like to see how things transpire before adding complication. I did bring those concerns to the mayor, who offered a fairly satisfactory description of the process and how these would be integrated into the current offering at the rink, at least based on his assessment and research. You know, these are a big hit and big revenue driver at the Providence rink. As I sit here, there's a balance between, we want this rink to be successful. It will certainly be an anchor to all of us if it is not successful. And it has certain costs inherent to operating the facility, that were raised earlier, personnel, electricity, everything else that goes along with it, maintenance. But we don't want to hamstring its ability to generate revenue. It was also raised tonight that, I wish we could have a designated fund in the budget, that this goes to or that goes to, so we were guaranteed that those funds are spent in that way. There are very few examples in the budget of items that are or revenues that are designated, and tourism revenues are one of those, and we spend them manually on fireworks and advertising and other items to drive tourism. However, it would seem to be a fitting use to try to goose the revenue and give this skating rink every opportunity to stand on its own feet, to honor the mayor's request to add this amenity to the facility, and give them the opportunity to bring in revenue that way. So while I wasn't originally emphatically for this, I do think that we have these earmarked funds that are restricted for tourism. This represents one potential use of those funds, which would help to drive revenue at the rink. We want it to be successful, and so I'm willing to support using some of those earmarked funds to this end. So, thank you.
Yeah, for what it's worth. Oh wait, actually, first, Councilman Muto. I'm sorry.
No problem. I'm used to being ignored. Thank you. I would love to see the rink successful. I would probably, like I said before, the first ones on the bumper cars. But my gut is telling me that the initial business plan showed a estimated revenue of somewhere around $800,000. It was supposed to be net neutral without the bumper cars. So that's number one. Number two is we had an argument on this floor, a discussion, not an argument, about ice skates. And 2 months ago, we were so afraid to set up our own ice skating area because we didn't know enough about ice skating, even though we've managed two rinks for 50 years. So the goal was, hey, let's, to mitigate risk, let's do, outsource the ice skate. So now we're jumping into something that is only done in two other outside rinks in the country. All the other uses for a bumper car is in an indoor facility. That's number one. Number two is the assessment of what we have to understand is What is the, you know, the mechanisms we need for the ice skating rink? And I'll share a couple of items with you. To use these machines, ice needs to be at a laser level. And what that means is you need to be able to create ice that does not have bumps or indentations, slush, any of that other, because the machines will not behave properly. Just from the last 2 months, we've had slush from sun. We've had the inability to level ice. I didn't bring a laser, but you can see in the corners, the Zamboni has a difficult time, getting the corners done. So I'm debating with myself, yeah, we want to make this successful. But in our own back of the envelope estimates, all we're doing is we're rolling on black for a one-to-one win, and which means that just to break even on this $130,000, it's going to take 2.5 years. That's revenue. So you have the revenue, and then you have the cost of doing it. You know, it's like owning a bakery. You know, it takes you, you know, it's going to cost you $400 for a machine, but you're only going to be able to sell your Zeppelins for $10 a piece. And your break even is, you know, 5-10 years down the road. This is basically the same type of argument we're making, which is when we're looking at the cost, and that's just the purchase cost, we also admittedly don't have the operating costs, the maintenance schedules. So our recommendation was not necessarily, or my viewpoint is not necessarily to say no, but not now. It's an 8-week lead time. By the time we even receive the machines, we're already in the summer. Another month delay until the folks in the rink can put together a more appropriate, thorough business case, I think is worthwhile as the, you know, looking out for the spending within our city. Where a vote of yes to approve these machines is a vote for a wish and a prayer. And I can't do that at this time. Again, we all want the success. We all want success within our city. But I believe as a council, we need to make sure the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, and that there's a reasonable expectation that what is being said is going to come true. So thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'll try not to put too fine a point on it and or repeat myself for Councilman Muto, but yeah, to Councilman Muto's point, yeah, we had that debate a couple of months ago. Apparently, we are not capable in the city of Warwick of sharpening our own ice skates, but now we're capable of maintaining these very specialized vehicles and switching out the tires and the discs and everything else that goes with it. Second, there are opportunity costs here, because when these things are out on the ice, the skaters aren't out on the ice. So let's not pretend that every hour they're out is generating revenue, bringing it up from zero to something, because there would have been probably something in those four-hour blocks. Third, because there probably would have been something in those blocks, I think it's pretty important that we talk with that vendor that we have a contractual obligation with before we go ahead with this, because this is how we go ahead and buy ourselves a lawsuit. And then fourth, speaking of lawsuits, this is a hazardous activity. So let's also not underestimate the potential risks here when we're putting together the data and trying to put together spreadsheets and whatnot on potential revenue, potential expenses. Well, you have to look at the potential risk. And is that risk 5%, 10% over the course of a year, over the course of multiple years? Maybe that adds up. I have no idea how to chart the potential risks on something like this, but it can add up between employees, people using it and so forth. And there's no such thing as a completely bulletproof waiver form. Anyways, those are the reasons that I have that I don't think it's appropriate for us to move forward at those at this time, along with reasons brought up by my colleagues, Councilman Lattiser and Muto, who have added a lot to this discussion when it comes to the technical elements here, and the and of course the finances, making a business plan type decision here. So similarly, I am not entirely opposed to this. I love the idea, but I think we need more due diligence here. We need more data. We need a bit more study on this. Thank you.
So it keeps getting mentioned, and it's contrary to my understanding. So administration, can you confirm for me? I thought the bumper cars were going to be usable year-round, but people keep mentioning only with the ice.
So the bumper cars are year-round, and just to let Ms. Councilman Muto know, there are 6 outdoor rinks that currently use the bumper cars, not including City Hall Plaza, if approved. 3 of them are in New York, 1 in South Dakota, North Dakota, and Indiana. So there's not 2, there are potential 7. This is an item that is highly desirable in the city of Providence, as well as other outdoor rinks and similar indoor rinks. This is providing the residents of the city of Warwick another recreational opportunity for those that do not ice skate during the winter months in the down times on the rink when there's not as many skaters, as well as in the summer, spring, fall, and summer when there is no ice. And this is a year-round multi-event center, as well as the Greenwood City Hall Plaza event center. Thank you.
You stole one of my talking points about it being elsewhere, so now I'm bitter. One of my other, that maybe again might be a misunderstanding. I thought the revenue projections, did they include the bumper cars?
Are you talking about the revenue projected in the recommendation letter, or are you talking about in the city budget?
I think the budget.
The city budget anticipated just the ice, I believe. It may have included the rent, the bumper cars as well. This has been an initiative of the mayor since the ice rink funding was approved. He's gone to the one in Providence. He's seen it. He's seen how much fun the residents have and the people have. And how busy it is. So to get the exact answer, I'd have to speak to the mayor on the revenue. Sorry.
Alrighty. Yeah, so as far as my own 2 cents, I'm a big fan of the fact that it's a potential year-round revenue source. The more of that, the better. And I think Councilman Foley actually pointed this out during committee. This is something the public is clearly excited about. And I think the new people have been around long enough to realize it is unfortunately rare for when we can actually vote on something that the public is excited about. Usually what we do is either reviled or just neutral because it doesn't have any immediate effect on them. This is one of the few times when there's a real tangible effect that there'll be a benefit for at least a good chunk of them. And given how rare it is, given the offer potential year-round revenue, I think it's worth the risk that it offers, what little there might be, especially when other communities have already made it clear that it's not a Hail Mary risk. It works. Granted, there might be ways to execute it properly, sure, but other communities have demonstrated that it can and does work. In worst case scenario, we tweak it to a more aligned with theirs at worst. So that's not a bad worst case scenario for me. Councilman Napa?
Councilman DeLuise had his light on. prior to me. I'll defer to him.
Oh, that's okay.
All right, why do I even sit here? Councilman DeLuise?
I have a question for the chief. Chief, have you, the other six rinks, the three in New York, North and South Dakota, and Indiana, did you do studies on their business plan to see if it works, see how profitable they are?
Director Rock can answer that question.
Yes, sir. So I spoke with five rinks total, or the nine that I had reached out to speak to, and of those, four of those were outdoor rinks. The model that I'm representing here, or presenting here, would be very similar to exactly what they're doing. And to use Ironworks in Mishawaka, Indiana, they've been doing this for a long time. We're getting, if I remember correctly, they're going on their second set of cars. They nearly sell out every session that they have. So if they have it online and it's posted, people are already booking, and those sessions are being booked up. He said nearly every session that they book, they are extremely popular, and they do it all year round on pavement and on the ice when they have the ice. It's an outdoor rink, very similar to ours, much different because it's more of a pathway. But anyway, it was the same thing for Outlaw Square in South Dakota, in Minot, North Dakota. They're using the same models. Now, they weren't able to give me specific numbers with how much they profit, but they said this is a no-brainer. If you have them, they will come. That's almost every single comment that I had from those ice rinks. It was all positive, and there was my takeaway was that this will obviously work here, with Providence saying as popular as they were for Providence, I don't foresee that being any different for us, because I'm going to model very similar to what they do, what all these rinks have done.
Okay, another question. I do have the same concerns as Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Muto, but have you done any research as far as any injuries that happened at these rinks, or, you know?
Sure, yep, absolutely. The folks that I have spoke to were not aware of any lawsuits that they've had in the years that they've used these cars.
Okay, and the life expectancy is 5 years per car?
Yes, that's fair, yep.
Okay.
I was told 5 to 6 years, but I think five is...
Okay, well, I do have some concerns, but I don't think the rink will survive just on ice skating. It's my opinion. I think that it needs something else to attract people. And I think if you folks advertise it properly and, you know, you put out newsletters and you have a, you know, big advertisement, and I think people will show up even if they just try it out for the first time. But I mean, going back a long time, I remember the the bumper cars at Rocky Point.
Yep.
That was one of the favorite rides. I just have some concerns, but I feel in life, I've taken some shots in business. I didn't always succeed, but if you don't take a shot, you'll never know. I think this could be a way to bring more income into the rink, because I honestly, I don't think it's going to make it on just ice skates and skate rentals. So
yeah, and there's also too, just a side note, there is sponsorship opportunities as well for these. There's other rinks that for our X amount of dollars you can have your business on their bumper car. And there's no reason we can't.
And they would pay for that.
Correct.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Councilman Napa.
Thank you. Director, so my colleague Councilman Ricks had mentioned an opportunity cost. Over the summertime, what other activities at the rink might these bumper cars interfere with that you have planned on the horizon?
Just special events. I mean, we haven't precisely picked dates or times for other events, such as like farmers markets and things of that nature, or arts and crafts fairs, or anything of that nature. The roller skating and the bumper cars would be a mainstay, or fill in those gaps of when there is not an event planned. So I don't plan on impeding any events that would be special. These are going to be more of a, you know, we can fill in those spots as they open.
Would the roller skate versus bumper cars in the summertime, springtime when there's no ice be similar to the model that you're using in the winter?
Yes.
Okay. Similar. And then just to briefly recap, my initial thought to this was bumper cars. We're talking about bumper cars with all this. So I get it. I get the outrage of why are we buying bumper cars? But as I said in committee, I think it's important for the city to take a long-term look at this. And for a five-year life expectancy, the revenue projections at a reasonable rate, like Councilman Muto said, I'll echo in 2.5 years, so these things are fully paid off. I think fairly that should include the operational costs and replacement of batteries and such. I think. No crystal ball, but even let's call it 3 years, we have 2 years of pure profit revenue. And if we're not doing things, if we stop thinking of these as bumper cars, amusement rides that are frilly for the city, and think of it rather like if we're not doing an investment to generate revenue, we're doing a disservice. And we're not only generating revenue, but we're giving the citizens something fun, something they can be proud of, and something that will draw other communities here. So I echo my support of this. It does come with some hesitations. There are some unknowns. Of course, any sort of activity that we're talking about, projections of revenue, we're never going to have a hard, definite number until we get into it. But I think this is, at the very least, we're going to be a net even on cost over the five-year span. And we've brought more joy into the community and something to be proud of. So I have no qualms about supporting this.
Councilman Foley.
Seeing no other lights on, I call the question.
All right, so the motion before us is for unfavorable action. So, and Solicitor, correct me if I'm wrong, a yes vote is to shoot down the bid. A no vote is to not shoot down the bid. We'll have to do another motion after that if the bid is not shut down. So, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinabi?
No.
Mr. DeLuise?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gebhardt?
No.
Mr. Kirby?
No.
Mr. Lanza?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
No.
Mr. Rick?
Yes.
All right, so now we have another motion.
Motion to move favorable action.
Motion for favorable action made and seconded. So,
Solicitor,
you want me to do it? So it's a 56-6.
Second.
All right, so it requires 6 votes in favor in order to pass. Any further, Councilman Foley?
No, point of clarification. Since we just voted down an unfavorable action, isn't it logical that means this passes?
No.
Unfortunately, no. Not. Logical, yes, but it doesn't follow the process.
So, again, point of clarification. So, we have in front of us now a motion for favorable action, and if we vote yes, we're voting for the bumper cars.
That's correct, although just to be clear, it needs 6 votes in favor in order to pass.
Call the question.
Order.
Councilman Ricks.
I'd simply like to point out that logic has nothing to do with any of this. That's all.
It is unfortunately correct to a large degree. All right. So no further lights on. Clerk will call the question on a motion for favorable action. Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
No.
Mr. Muto?
No.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
No.
All right, so that concludes the first 3 that were taken off, but now the fourth one, PCR 16-26, formerly bid 2026-035. So, Councilman Lattiser?
Yes, the motion or the recommendation from the committee was to hold until February 23rd.
Is there any objection to holding until February 23rd? All right, seeing none. Sorry, I'm just checking my calendar. All right, yeah, it is February 23rd. Seeing none, so held. I'm being scolded before I can. Ah, you're right. I would have done it again, and then Lynn would have got mad at me, rightfully so. All right, unfinished business, PCO 29-25, an ordinance amending section 20-291 to update the rescue service fee schedule. This is ordinance, Councilman Napo.
For second passage, the committee recommended favorable action, and for action.
For action, Councilman Napo.
Motion to move favorable.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Are there any further discussion? Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
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 Let it be noted that the way he makes arrows is definitely the reason why I would skip it, Lynn. I'm blaming him. All right, PCO-31-25, an ordinance to prohibit certain types of parking on Caddy Avenue, Lippitt Avenue and Mill Cove Road. This is second passage. Ordinance, Councilman Napo.
Committee recommended favorable action on second passage.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCO-31-25 for second passage.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
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 Next is PCO-32-25, an ordinance amending section 64-5 relative to the compensation of other officials. Councilman Napo.
On second passage, committee recommended favorable action.
For action, Councilman Napo.
On behalf of the council president, motion to move favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman Gephardt. Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Yes.
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 All right, next is PCO-13-25, an ordinance amending procedures relative to transfer of tax title to property. This would be first passage. Councilman Napo.
Per request of the land trust, we were asked to hold this. Committee recommends a hold till 3/23/26.
Yeah, for what it's worth, the administration also asked to hold this till 3/23. So any objection to the multiple requests to hold? Right, seeing none, so held. That's March 23rd, it's held too. All right, next is PCO-2-26, an ordinance establishing regulations and penalties relative to the use of city dog parks. This would be first passage. Ordinance, Councilman Neff.
First passage, committee recommends favorable action on the sub A that was put together by Councilman Muto and Councilman Kirby.
Motion.
Second.
I just heard the word motion and hear the next part.
I had on me. Motion for favorable action.
Got it. Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. All right, so solicitor.
So PCO-226 has been moved favorably. Councilman Muto moves the Muto amendment formally at this time. Which would take its place as a substitute amendment. It would require a second.
All right, so the amendment, did someone want to motion it?
The amendment is in your packets. It is labeled the Muto proposed sub A amendment, and it's been moved and seconded. Is there any questions on the amendment at this time?
Wait, just one question. Police department had amendments as well. Is that going to be after this amendment's approved?
The recommendation would be to put this in play first, and if there are any subsequent amendments that anyone would like to entertain, we can certainly come back to those at that time.
Tracker.
All right, thank you. Any questions and comments on first the Muto amendment? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinabi.
Yes.
Mr.
Gilbey. Yes.
Mr. Yes.
Yes.
Kirby. Yes.
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 All right. And so in order to discuss anything else, we're going to need another motion first. So we're in an awkward position because I can't make, I'm not supposed to make the motion, but so, I'm the one with the potential amendment.
The council president has inquired on two matters. Should the anyone wish to entertain further amendments? These are, the first amendment is, should anyone be interested, there's a restriction on the number of dogs per attendant allowed in the park. There is current signage that posted at the park that indicates that it is allowable to have three. The PCO 226, as amended by the MUTO amendment, maintains that there's a two threshold. So the question presented is whether two or three is an appropriate number for everyone's consideration.
Point of order. Two or three per attendee?
Per attendant. Okay. And the subsequent item, should anyone be interested, is we amended the end of this language to talk about enforcement to, it now states that it, the last sentence of the ordinance is the police department is authorized to enforce the provision of this section. Question presented was whether it should specifically authorize the animal control officers and or the police department can offer.
So we originally had that animal control, and then the police said that it was for the police.
So we can't, for the same reason I can't say why, we need someone to move it first, and then we can say all the things.
Motion to move amendments as proposed.
Second.
All right, thank you. I apologize for the odd nature of it. So first, regarding the number of dogs, right now the sign says maximum of three dogs per owner. Unintentional pun, I don't have a dog in that particular fight, so I could go either way anybody wants. Doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to pretend I'm passionate about it one way or another. The other issue, though, was raised to me by the police. They asked for it to explicitly allow for also the animal control officer, because if someone calls 911, odds are it's going to be the animal control officer that responds. So we want the individual responding to be able to enforce. However, we still want to maintain the ability for the police to respond as well and actually enforce, hence the and or as opposed to just one of them. My understanding of the previous language was that it was animal control officer and the director of Parks and Rec, as opposed to police being part of the mix. So I get why we moved away from that. Makes sense to me. All I'm asking to do is add back in animal control officers as one of the options. I'm not asking to add back in director of Parks and Rec. And again, it's at the request of the police to make sure they can actually, the people who show up actually can enforce it. Councilman Muto.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no concerns with adding the or statement, animal control officer or work PD. It just cleans it up a little bit.
All right, does anyone have any thoughts on the three or two dogs? I honestly don't have one, so I don't want to pretend like we should go with someone who's indifferent. Councilman Ricks?
I'd actually, although I moved, seconded rather, for purposes of discussion, if we have it currently in the sub A as two, I mean, this is really a matter of an enforcement issue. So I don't think that people are going to randomly be calling the ACO about three well-behaved dogs. While I'm always cautious of overreach, I think that if someone is having difficulty maintaining control of multiple dogs, perhaps we should allow for some enforcement powers here. So I'm fine with two.
All right. So, Councilman Muto, I don't know if you're
like. Yeah, so I agree. I think three yes is what's posted out there, but it's not an ordinance. We researched other cities and towns, and two was the number that they use for their ordinance. So, and being a dog owner, if you have more than two dogs, even though they're well-behaved, if you have that third one, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm also concerned with just like the logistics of.
Yeah, it's almost like kids.
Three dogs as opposed to two.
Two is manageable. Three, you're outnumbered. So Just word of caution, any of you young people.
So, but an owner only has two arms. I don't know how you restrain three dogs at the same time, unless you're very wide reach. So, Solicitor, what's the easiest way to get rid of the proposal as far as the number of dogs for mine? Because I'm fine with it going away.
It is currently Councilman Napa's amendment. And
oh, I'm sorry, yes.
If there's no objection, he could get rid of the 2-3 piece and just leave it as adding the animal control officers as an authorized enforcement authority. So,
I'd like to take action to remove the language, changing it from 2-3, and just leave it as an amendment to add in or animal control officer in addition to war police.
Does anyone object to that? All right, so now before us is just the animal control or police officer.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm apologizing.
I'm sorry, I didn't get my hand up the light. I wasn't clear on Councilman Napper's comment. Are you looking to change no more than two dogs to no more than three dogs? Is that what you said?
So the suggestion from the police department, from what I understand, was...
No, it was just they wanted the sign, to was going to be to match what the ordinance was. So that's why I simply point out, hey, that's one of the other things. Councilman Napa was kind enough to just say, okay, we'll do that then. And then once people spoke, I was like, look, let's just get rid of that so it stays as maximum of two per the Muto amendment.
It was just for discussion. I also think that two is the appropriate number. Having two dogs any more than two is too many to handle outside.
It's like my team.
Right. All right. So the amendment before us now, all it's doing is adding or animal control officer. So it's police officer can enforce or an animal control officer.
Motion to move favorable action as amended.
Second.
We still need to actually implement that second amendment before we can do that. So any further questions on that second amendment?
Adding ACOs to the...
Yeah, which is adding ACOs to the ability to enforce. All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll on that amendment. Please. Yes.
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 All right, now it stands before us twice amended. Incorporates the Muto amendment and the one addition of the or animal control officer for enforcement purposes. Does anyone have any questions to the ordinance as amended? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Oh, wait, we didn't? All right, someone asked, can you move favorable action? Got Muto?
Second.
For favorable action as amended from Councilman Muto and seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Now, is there any further questions? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
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 All right, next is PCR 67-25, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to amend RIGL 17-8-5 to include the City of Warwick in the list of municipal councils authorized to approve the employment and compensation of local canvassing authorities. Intergovernmental, so Councilman Gebhardt.
This was moved without recommendation.
All right, so we'll kick to the primary sponsor, Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you. So I would propose the change to where it says in the list of municipal councils authorized to approve the compensation or the increase.
Councilman, I believe I've written out a draft of what
please.
You discussed.
Go ahead,
in committee,
put it in
if you'd like. Councilman Lattiser would ask that folks amend this matter. What we'll do is strike where we're inserting Warwick on line 19. And add a new clause at the end on line 21 that says, and provided further that in the City of Warwick, increases in compensation shall be subject to the approval of the City Council.
That's my motion.
All right. Motion from Councilman Lattiser, seconded by Councilman Muto. Does anyone have any questions regarding the proposed amendment? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. Yes.
No.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr.
Gephardt? No.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lazo?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Mr. Rich?
Yes.
All right, so that was just to get it amended. So now, is there a motion for favorable action as amended?
Make a motion favorable action as amended.
Okay. Seconded by Councilman Muto. Any further questions? All right, seeing none, clerk will please call the roll. No.
No.
Mr.
Foley? No.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lazo?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Napa?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, next we have PCR 5-26 sub A. Resolution establishing a task force to review and make recommendations regarding the modernization, sustainability, and economic development potential of the city's athletic and recreational facilities and infrastructure. This is intergovernmental. Councilman Gephardt.
The request of the sponsor is to hold this to 3-9.
Is there any objection to holding till 3-9? All right, so that's a hold till March 9th, so moved, or so held, rather. Next is new business. There is none. Next is unanimous consent. PCR-12-26, resolution approving an easement to the Narragansett Electric Company for the installation, maintenance, and operation of overhead and underground electric distribution systems at Pilgrim High School. Is there any objection to considering this under unanimous consent? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and object so that this gets punted to the next meeting.
Council President, point of order.
Yeah.
I don't believe that the Exhibit A is actually attached to the resolution. Just wanted to make sure to raise that for the record.
Thank you. We'll double check the packets and make sure that when it's back before you, the complete document is both online and in your packets if it's not in both already. But the matter has been objected to. It's docketed effectively as PCR 1226. So no action tonight.
All right. So next is, does anyone have anything for unanimous consent? All right. Seeing none.
Seeing no further business in front of this honorable body, I move to a docketing session.
Is there a second? Somebody? Second it? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Seeing none. Docket session. Ward 1.
I have one, an ordinance in regards to amending Chapter 56, small purchases. I do want to make a note on that. I would like Councilman Lattiser to be the main sponsor, and I'll be a co-sponsor.
Councilman Ricks, Ward 2, sorry.
Thank you. So I have 5 items. First item, and I am going in order here. First item, a resolution in observance of Black History Month. And by the way, anyone who wishes to co-sponsor any of these is welcome. Looking around, looks like everyone is in. Yeah. Okay. Second item.
Community affairs.
Oh, pardon us.
Next.
You're good. He was just saying the committee.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Second item, a resolution in observance of Women's History Month.
Community affairs.
Community affairs.
Thank you. Looks like all co-sponsor. Okay. Won't be so informal with co-sponsors on these next ones, though co-sponsors on these next 3 are very much appreciated. Third, a resolution to the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter Article 5 budget to add a section to require financial presentations at a public hearing at least 30 days before the city budget hearings.
Councilman, would you be interested in having all three matters appear under one resolution since they're all charter requests, or would you like them docketed as individual matters?
I think that it can make sense to have separate debate because they are three different sections of the charter. I think that that just might be the simplest administratively, even if it might take a few extra minutes on some of the votes.
Whatever your preference is. So separate items. Okay.
Let's see, co-sponsors, Councilman Bottasur Muto. This is basically
intergovernmental.
Won't get into the details here, and I'll abbreviate some of the titles. Tentative title on the number four here. A resolution to the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter, Article 8, Sections 5 through 12, 18 through 20, and adding Section 23 to establish advice and consent by the Warwick City Council for certain mayoral appointments.
Intergovernmental.
I'll co-sponsor.
Thank you. And fifth, a resolution to the General Assembly requesting amendment of the Warwick City Charter, Article 9, Public Education, Sections 1, 2, and 15, to increase the number of members of the school committee to 9 and alter the electoral districts.
A co-sponsor.
That's all. Thank you.
Intergovernmental.
Pass.
I have 10, but consolidated to 2. By the recommendation of the advice of the solicitor. It's a resolution to the General Assembly for Warwick Charter Modernization. Items 1 through 5, I'll deliver them to you, but they are focused on primary structural package. That looks at Article 6, Budget and Finance, Article 2, City Council, Article 3, Mayor, and adding a new Article 10, Appointments, Confirmation, and Removals. Second resolution for Warwick Charter Modernization for the technical and enabling packages. I have details of 6 through 10. This package would clarify the veto and override procedures, including the establishment of a line item veto.
I'll co-sponsor both.
All right, there we go. That addresses what I was going to say.
Councilman Ricks.
Okay. Both have received co-sponsors, and will be referred to intergovernmental.
All right, so that's it for you, right, Councilman Muto? I don't want to miss anything. Ward 7.
Pass.
Ward 9.
An ordinance amending section 64-5 relative to compensation of other officials.
Ordinance.
Could you repeat that? I didn't catch the last part.
It's the same one we amended tonight, Councilman Lattiser.
I'm good here. Ordinance.
All right. Then Ward 8, I have 2. One's a PCO, administration. One's a PCR, administration.
Ordinance to ordinance and res to intergov.
All right. That concludes the city council meeting at a surprising 10:21 p.m.